Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School in Isabel, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service of public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on worms, intestinal parasites, when we come back. You know, in 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. Today, it's down to less than 38 days. Now, we Americans produce grain for export, and then we import grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala. Our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support this Global 2000 population reduction program. Now, this globalization may be good for business, but globalization is not good for me, and it's not good for you. Back in 1940, we all had a pantry full of food to feed our families for a year or more. Today, we have a three-day supply in our refrigerators, and we believe in our supermarket system of just-in-time delivery to feed us all forever. But over the past 60 years, we Americans have traded a year's food supply for 3 days. Do you think that's very wise? Now, these global 2000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, plague, disease, and pestilence to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years, so says the Club of Rome. And these evil madmen with their global 2000 genocide agenda have a cause that they're willing to die for. And I say let them die for their cause and let you and I live for ours. Now, let me show you from the scripture how to be a live survivor instead of a dead victim. If you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first. That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order a copy for yourself. Right now, the number is 417-273-4967. Now, this subsistence and survival school is available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. Then click onto the email machine and send an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, last time we were talking about this thing of intestinal parasites. Remember that? Intestinal parasites, commonly known as worms. Now, nobody wants to admit, hey, I've got worms. You know, I'm full of parasites. Talk about politically incorrect. Nobody wants to be politically incorrect, and then certainly nobody wants to admit that, hey, I've got these critters crawling around in my gut somewhere. In the first program in the series, I went through a list of about 20 symptoms that you get, you know, like chronic fatigue syndrome. You can get pneumonia. There's about 20 common diseases, migraine, headaches. They're caused by these parasites. And there's a bunch of them. They've listed about 20 in here, but there's about, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 common everyday garden variety parasites that just about all of us have from time to time. You get reinfected every time you eat a salad off the salad bar, or eat a rare steak, or eat a piece of pig or something that's, especially if it's not well done. And nobody's going to eat meat 100% of the time that isn't well done. Now, of course, if you cook it well done, you can kill the parasites. That's why they always tell you to cook pig well done. Well, that's fine, but you know not everybody does that, and you don't do that every single time. And it only takes one worm. It just takes one egg, and one specific called the roundworm lays 200,000 eggs a day. You got that? 200,000 eggs a day. That's a bunch. And then you've got to be able to kill the worms, the larvae, and the eggs to get rid of them. Your immune system will do it if you've got good nutrition. Most Americans don't have very good nutrition. The stuff you eat out of McDonald's feeds worms. It doesn't kill them. And Hershey bars and Mounds and Almond Joys feed the worms. What you need is more Brussels sprouts and broccoli. And, of course, nobody wants to eat garlic, Brussels sprouts, or broccoli. I've often said, you know, if God would have made broccoli to taste like Hershey's candy bars, why, there'd be no disease on planet Earth. I don't know. Maybe he was asleep one day and he got the formula wrong. Maybe he intended to make broccoli and Brussels sprouts taste like Almond Joys and Mound candy bars, but somehow or another he screwed it up and he didn't get the job done. It tastes like broccoli and Brussels sprouts. Now, you might not like broccoli and Brussels sprouts, but let me tell you, the worms don't like them either. And you might not like garlic. Well, the worms don't like garlic either. And these are called herbs, and these herbs kill worms. Herbs kill worms. Now, research indicates that in any type of parasitic infestation, the diet that you're eating should be unusually adequate and refined foods should be strictly avoided. unusually adequate. That's an odd way to phrase that. Your diet needs to be really super good. No Big Macs and lots of broccoli. Yogurt or acidophilus milk or culture appears to be especially helpful in cases of amoebic dysentery and perhaps all intestinal infestations, and every effort should be made to maintain normal stomach acid, which destroys many parasites obtained from food. Now, other researchers have shown that parasites are particularly susceptible to a variety of herbs which are lethal only to those organisms. So, to date, there are no known cure-all herbs which kill all three stages of a parasite's infestation, that is, larvae, eggs, and the adults. As described, poisons and toxins in your body irritate your tissues, setting the stage for cancer. These same toxins also seem to allow the parasites to breed outside of their normal, natural life cycle, which usually involves leaving the host's body. It seems that with the increase in environmental pollution, the parasites, in the presence of pollutants, can complete their life cycle within your body. Any anti-parasitic treatment must effectively kill all three stages of parasite development and must continue on beyond the normal incubation period of the eggs. Any short-term treatment, such as commercial preparations, cannot be effective. Commercial treatments usually focus on intestinal parasites and the adult worms only. It is true they kill the adult worms, but they don't kill the larvae or they don't kill the eggs, and 21 days later you are reinfected. And as has been described above, parasites can crawl into your liver, into your pancreas, brain, lungs, heart, eyeballs, in fact, any part of your body. Therefore, a total systemic anti-parasitic system of treatment is necessary and imperative to rid your body of all of these parasites. Such a treatment may involve electromedical devices which destroy the parasite electrically, and pure herbal supplements known to kill all stages of parasite development. Now, there are two trains of thought on this matter and the cause of cancers: leukemia, fibroids, HIV, AIDS, and other diseases which modern medicine has yet to find a cure. Now, one train of thought is that modern medicine has the means to cure disease by introducing toxic, poison, and potent drugs which are foreign to the physiology of any living organism, human or animal. Or they may surgically remove the diseased and suffering and dying organ. The other train of thought is to harness the healing power of your body's immune system, removing the source of the irritation, and then providing nutrients for your body to build healthy new cells by stimulating your body and your immune system with naturally occurring substances such as are found in pollutant-free, steroid-free, hormone-free, organically grown foods and herbs. Healing is naturally accomplished. So which method or solution do you prefer? It's a choice that you have to make. Now, again, this article comes from, if you got a web page there, you got a computer, it's www.genhealth.com. It's an easy one. www.genhealth, all one word, G-E-N-H-E-A-L-T-H.com. The other one that I read from on the last program is called www.cdc, that's the Center for Disease Control, .gov. How's that? www.cdc.gov. And then, let's see, is there a third one here? Yeah, there is. Hang on, let me give you this third one. www.merck-buyers.com. www.merck-buyers, B-U-Y-E-R-S.com. I'll tell you a little bit more about these parasites, but hey, listen, have I got a story to tell you? I'm looking here at a great big thick book. Let me see how many pages are in this great big thick book. 767 right there, 775 pages. I mean, it's a biggie. And here's the title of it over here, Prescriptions for Natural Healing, America's Number One Guide to Natural Health, written by a lady named Phyllis A. Balch, B-A-L-C-H. I guess that's Belch, B-A-L-C-H. It's a practical A to Z reference to drug-free remedies using vitamins, minerals, herbs, and food supplements. I know it's a wild and crazy idea that you should have good food to treat your disease. Now, looking at the section back here on worms, which is on page 686, let me read you a little piece from this. This is the way you cure yourself. I mean, you got these 20 or 30 disease symptoms. So to get rid of the 20 or 30 disease symptoms, we need to get rid of the worms. To get rid of the worms, there's a methodology for accomplishing that goal, and you need to get rid of the adult worms, the larval stage worms, and the eggs. You got to get rid of all three because, you see, You can get in there real hot and heavy, and you can kill all the adults. Okay, and then about 3 weeks later, you're infested again with the same worms because the eggs hatched or the larvae developed. Now, no herb known to man nor any chemical concoction will kill all three. So you have to have three different herbal remedies. And I don't know of any chemical concoction that'll kill all three. They're only after the adult live worms. Now, you can kill the adult live worms. That's easy. You can go down to the drugstore and you can buy that chemical concoction, but you can't get a chemical concoction that'll kill the larvae and the eggs. But there are herbs that do that. Herbs that do that. Listen to this, boys and girls. Worms are parasites that live in your gastrointestinal tract. The most common types of worms are roundworms, including ascarides, hookworms, pinworms, and threadworms, and tapeworms. Roundworms are contagious intestinal parasites that are shaped like earthworms, but smaller in size, and they can easily be seen with the naked eye. Pinworms are white, thread-like worms about one-third of an inch long. Tapeworms vary in length from an inch to up to 30 feet, and they can survive for up to 25 years in your body. 25 years! That tapeworm has been eating you out of house and home. Now, in the United States, pinworm infestations in young children is by far the most prevalent parasitic worm problem. Depending on the type of worm involved and the severity of the infestation, there may be a variety of symptoms. In some cases, there may be no perceptible symptoms at all. In some cases, worms may be seen in the stool. Now, when I say stool, that doesn't mean that bar stool that you're sitting on down at Howard's Bar and Grill. We're talking about your big grunts, your poops. And they take that apart and they look inside there and they find worms. Pinworms can cause severe anal itching, especially at night, as the worms tend to migrate outside the anus to lay their eggs. Isn't that just special? See, these little worms, they crawl out of your anus. That's your bunghole for all you truck drivers out there. And it makes you itch, and so you reach down there and you scratch, and then you get little poops underneath your fingernails with the eggs inside those little poops over there. And then everything you touch has got those eggs on it, and you spread it around to other people. That's called bad hygiene, boys and girls. You're supposed to wash your hands. You're supposed to clean out from under your fingernails, too. That's the way they get spread. And then your cat turns around and licks her bunghole. You ever notice that? Cats like to lick their bunghole. It must be salty. And then they get those worms on their tongue, and then the eggs on their tongue, and then they lick their fur. And then you come along and you pet the cat, and you get the worm eggs on your hands from petting the cat. And then you reach up and you scratch your forehead. And then you rub your nose. And then you stick your fingers in your mouth, you know, things like that, and then you become infested with these worms. Now, insomnia and restlessness are a couple of the symptoms that are attributed to these eggs, these worms. Hookworms can cause itching on the soles of your feet, and in some cases, bloody sputum, fever, rash, loss of appetite. Threadworms can cause coughing or bronchitis, abdominal pains, diarrhea, and gas, preceded by tiny red abrasions that sometimes itch. Small tapeworms can cause weight and appetite loss, abdominal pain, vomiting, and diarrhea. Large tapeworms can cause similar symptoms, but usually without weight loss. Now, ascariasis caused by ascarids, see if I can do that one again, ascariasis caused by ascarids is characterized by bloating, stomach pain, vomiting, and difficulty breathing. Trichinosis is a disease caused by a microscopic roundworm that, if left untreated, can lead to muscle damage and cardiac and neurologic complications. Trichinosis. That's what you get from eating pig. Pig-eating Christians get trichinosis. Now, worm infestations can range from mild to severe, even life-threatening, particularly in children. They result in poor absorption of essential nutrients and, in some cases, loss of blood from the gastrointestinal tract. They can therefore lead to such deficiency-related disorders as anemia and growth problems. We have that down here on the farm. You know, you see a calf out here, and it's kind of sick and puny looking. Children get like that. You know, you ever seen a kid over here? He's just a little squat, runty kid. Failure to thrive is what they call it. We just call them runts. And what's happening here is that this kid's full of worms, and everything that he eats goes to the worms, and he's unable to grow because the worms are sucking up all the nutrients. And, you know, these people, they take him to the doctors, and they shoot him up with drugs and one thing and another. It never does them any good. They're always sickly and puny all their lives. They're just sickly and puny. Well, until you get rid of the worms, and boy, then they just grow like weeds. Now, worms can be contracted through a variety of mechanisms, including improper disposal of human or animal waste, walking barefoot on contaminated soil, and ingestion of eggs or larvae from uncooked or partially cooked meat. In some cases, eggs may become airborne and be inhaled. Well, that's where these little microscopic critters are. Now, have you ever watched the sunlight shining through a window and you see these little particles floating around in the air? Those are dust particles. Well, these eggs from many of these types of bacterial size parasites, amoeba, are floating in the air and you just inhale them. Ain't that special? Hey, listen, even you vegetarians have to breathe. and you get infected with these parasites. Fortunately for you vegetarians, because you eat so well, your immune systems work so well, you don't have much problem with these infestations. But just bear in mind, you know, that you too have these little critters crawling around in your eyeballs and probably crawling in and out of your bunghole every once in a while. In some cases, eggs may become airborne and be inhaled. Remember, inhaled. Parasites are more common than most people suppose, and they can be behind many illnesses, including colon disorders. They're more common in children than in adults. They're also common in people with AIDS, chronic fatigue syndrome, candidiasis, and many other disorders. Unfortunately, physicians often do not check for worm infestation. I don't think it's because doctors are stupid. I think it's because they're exceptionally bright. No, doctors are not dumb people. No, sirree, Bob. You don't get to be a doctor by being stupid. In fact, if you take a look at the best and brightest on the intelligence charts, the smartest people go to medical school and law school. I mean, the brightest, smartest people. Then if you're not quite that smart, then you go to business school and engineering school. See? And then if you're really a halfwit and you don't have much moxie and you're really dumb, then you become a teacher or a social worker. They're at the bottom of the list. I didn't write that, by the way, and I'm not against teachers and social workers. I mean, you know, those are people just like you and me, and they got lawns to mow and mortgage payments to pay, and they got to make a living somehow or another, but they're not smart enough to be doctors. Hell, boys and girls, if they were smart enough to be doctors, they would be doctors. Everybody wants to go to medical school. Everybody wants to go to law school. That's where all the money's at. But, you know, if you can't make it to medical school and law school, then you have to take the second best. It's kind of like being the wallflower at the dance, you know, you take what you get. So keep in mind that these doctors who are very, very smart people are also entrepreneurs. And I mentioned it last time, I'm going to tell you again, that the natural cure for these worms and the diseases that are caused by these worms doesn't cost anything, and there's no money to be made. So the doctor, he's not going to sit there and say, gee, let me give you a test and see whether or not you got worms so we can treat the worms and kill the worms and cure your disease. Hell, he wants to sell you on a program. You know, you walk in the door and you got cancer. That boy don't want to cure worms and watch your cancer go away for nothing. He wants to sell you a $100,000 program of cut, burn, and poison. I mean, come on, guys, let's wake up and smell the coffee. So the dosage recommended here is for adults. Now, for a child between the ages of 12 and 17, reduce the dose to 3/4. For a child between 6 and 12, use just a half of the recommended dose. And for a child under the age of 6, use 1/4 of the recommended dose. Okay, now let's go back here. Remember this book? It's called Prescription for Natural or Nutritional Healing by Phyllis A. Balch, B-A-L-C-H, or Balch, B-A-L-C-H. All right, she's a smart lady because she's got CNC after her name. So you know that this is a good book, and she's a good lady because she's got letters after her name. See, where can we get a copy of this book? Copyright 2000 by Phyllis. We can get it from Penguin Putnam Incorporated, 375 Hudson Street, New York, New York. And hey, you can get online, www.penguinputnam.com, all one word, Penguin, spelled P-E-N-G-U-I-N, P-U-T-N-A-M, penguinputnam.com. All rights reserved, printed in the USA. I don't know what it costs. Go to the website, take a look. This is just one of many books on the subject of healing and natural healing. You can probably buy this in a health food store, for crying out loud, if you just walked in today. You got anything like this? In fact, you could walk into a health food store and say, hey, just to a dumb clerk behind the counter, to say, hey, I think I got worms crawling in and out of my bunghole, and I need help. Can you do something for me? And they'll sell you the herbs that'll take care of that, or you can get real professional and get a book like this one here. And I can't go through that here on the air, but on page 687, they got recommendations, and they got herbs like aloe vera, black walnut, butternut bark, fennel seed, flaxseed, licorice root, senna leaf, cascara sagrada, cayenne, grapefruit seed extract, pink root, works well against roundworms, pumpkin extract contains zinc and aids in expelling worms. I eat pumpkin seeds, too. You can buy salted pumpkin seeds at the health food store. Some worms, I don't know if all worms, but some worms don't like pumpkin seeds. Some don't like them. So I eat pumpkin seeds so that I can get rid of unwanted house guests. I just thought I'd share that with you. Now listen, there's probably 20 or 30 different, oh my God, more than that. Yeah, at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 herbs. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 recommendations for getting rid of these worms. All professional and right up to date and politically correct. It's probably licensed, bonded, and insured on top of it all. Now listen, let me tell you a story. I think you're going to like this story. So as I like to say, gather around, boys and girls, it's story time. You ever heard of a colonic irrigator? Colonic irrigator. It's kind of a crazy term. The average guy in the street, I don't know, the first time I heard colonic irrigator, colon, Yeah, I know something. Irrigator, irrigation. Yeah, that means water. You're watering a field, irrigation. Well, a colon irrigator is an enema machine. That's what that is. It's an enema machine. You ever heard of such a thing? You get up on this table here, and they've got this box, this machine, and it pumps water into you, and it pumps water out of you. I mean, you talk about an enema now. I mean, this is professional. Well, anyway, they insert this thingy in your rectum, and then they pump water in, and then they pump it out, and they pump it in, they pump it out, pump it in, pump it out. It's kind of neat. You know, you don't have to get up and go to the bathroom. You don't have to sit on the toilet. You know, and they've got this tube, and it's got a glass tube in here, and you can watch the worms coming out of your body and being expelled and going down the sewer. It's really amazing. We've got one here on the farm, colonic irrigator. And I can put my wife on there, and I can run the machine over there, and she can put me on the machine, and she can run the machine, and she can watch me, and you can watch the worms as they go through the glass tube so that you can actually identify them. It's almost like putting some rattlesnakes into a big aquarium and then throwing white mice in there and watching the snakes eat them. I mean, if you want to get real perverse and kind of kinky, I mean, get a colonic irrigator and watch the tapeworms and the roundworms and the pinworms going through the glass tube. Now, there's a lady here, and she's called a colonic therapist. Normal people, they go to a colonic therapist, and they do these colonics, usually do about one a week. That's to help expedite the expulsion of the worms. I mean, you kill them with the herbs, and then you expel them with this colonic irrigator. Now, you don't need to. I'm just suggesting the colonic irrigator if you want to actually watch them, you want to see them, you want to see these critters. You've probably never seen a worm. You've probably never seen an intestinal parasite. Well, parasites and worms, a review of the medical literature. As I mentioned before, even though medical doctors do not believe parasites are a very large problem in America, there's still a lot of excellent material in the medical literature. I'd like to go over some of this material with you. And I first want to define the term parasite. And that's because a parasite is any organism that lives in or on and at the expense of another organism. A host is any animal that harbors a parasite. A parasite may have different hosts depending on the stage of the parasite. One of the most penetrating comments that I've read about parasites appeared in a medical book entitled Animals Parasitic in Man by Jeffrey LePage. This was originally published in 1957 by Dover Publications, and Mr. LePage has spent a lifetime studying parasites in man. On page 22, Mr. LePage says, "There's no part of this man's body, nor indeed any part of the bodies of the hosts of parasitic animals in general, which is not visited by some kind of parasitic animal at some time or another during their life histories." So what he's saying is that parasites can occur anywhere in your body. No organ is immune. Your blood, your muscles, your heart, your lungs, your brain, they're all possible sites for parasitic infestation. Okay, so I wanted to share that with you. Now, I'm going to put that one right over here, and I'm going to make a little mark on that. I'm going to make my mark right here so I don't read that to you again. And then you get real mad at me and you say, "Well, that dummy, he already covered that material." We're at the halfway point here, boys and girls. I got to give you a reminder here so that my producer and the radio stations and all don't get real mad at me, and remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through the website at, guess where, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember the website, georgegordon.org, or call the school direct at area code 417-273-4967. All right, let me tell you the story here from a lady who is a colon therapist. The people who are the sickest have the most parasites. I've been talking to my friend Marge for over 6 months about worms. She's a colonic therapist, and I guarantee you, we'll never read another health interview like this in your life. Question, can worms affect people's health? Marge, oh God, the people that are the sickest, those are the ones I get the most worms out of. Those are the sickest. Like the lady with the shingles. She was about 70 years old. She had terrible shingles all over her face. She had a very bad skin condition. Her whole face on one side and her eye and her hair were all weeping water. We got an hour and a half of solid worms out of the tube, and I filled her only once. It was solid worms, about 7 different kinds, all intermingled. Every worm you could think of came through that colon tube. No pulp, no water, just worms. For an hour and a half, it just flowed through. Solid worms. It could barely make it through the tubing, and her daughter stood behind me in such shock she couldn't believe her eyes. 7 kinds of worms we saw, all intertwined, different, and yet they were all together. Now, when she lost those worms, her shingles went away completely. Now, I just had this 40-year-old woman from France. After a few colonics, you should have seen the worms come out. They came out because she was so blocked with all the other fecal matter. It was just terrible. She was so constipated. That was the cause of it. As the constipation broke up, you could see the worms flowing out. Question, what did you see, Marge? Marge, I saw worms come out for 2 hours, long ones, short ones. It was all this one type. She was horrified. She had these worms because she was horribly constipated. She was all clogged up. It's really bad news. For 10 years, I had horrible liver pain. It was caused by liver flukes. Question, what do you hate most, Marge? Marge, to see all this, to see this coming out of everybody. Everyone has got worms. No one is an exception. Everyone has these worms. If you eat raw food, you're eating the spores and eggs. Parasites come from eating raw food, mainly. The tapeworm comes from eating raw beef. People serve raw beef at the weddings all the time. And the steak tartar, this is a famous German dish. And rare steak. Question, did you ever have worms yourself? Marge, are you kidding? I've had worms for years. I have liver flukes that were 12 inches long. 100 of them came out in one day. Question, and you saw them? Marge, did I see them? They were horrible. They were twisted around each other, 4 and 5 at a time. I had pain in my liver for years. I ended up in the hospital, twice, doubled up with pain. They said it was a muscle spasm. After I got rid of those liver flukes, I've never had pain in my liver since. I even got the eggs of the liver flukes out. Question, how long did you have that liver pain? Marge, for about 10 years. I showed them to another therapist who deworms people, but I didn't tell her those were my worms, and she said, those aren't worms from the colon, Marge. Those are worms from the liver. Those are liver flukes. I showed them to another expert and also confirmed that they were liver flukes. When the doctor did autopsy work in medical school, he saw them in the liver. He said, they're huge. When I got the liver flukes out, the liver pain immediately stopped. Question, and you saw these liver flukes come out of you and you had a colonic? Marge, oh yes. They were more like 12 inches in the thickness of a fountain pen. Question, how many people have liver flukes? Marge, I don't know. But I'll bet many do, and they don't know it. Question. So you have had liver flukes for 10 years. Marge, that's right. And don't you think that would cause cancer of the liver? Something that filthy in your liver? 100 liver fluke worms, a foot long, some of them as thick as a fountain pen? Question. What did you see come out when you had colonics? Marge. 4 or 5 liver flukes twisted around each other, 12 inches long, with 4 to 5 inches of yellow acid water in between. And then another 4 or 5 liver flukes. They were in groups. At first, I thought these worms were from the colon, but they're not. They're from the liver. Question. How many people get liver flukes? Marge. Lots of them. And don't think it was just me. Question. Where did you get the liver flukes from? Marge. I don't know. Nobody has ever been able to give me a straight answer. Question. Wouldn't it be nice to think how great a person would feel if they had no worms at all in them? Marge, that's right. I feel on top of the world after I lost those liver flukes. I can't tell you the change in the way I feel. After I got rid of those filthy worms, I was vibrant, I was happy, I had energy, I was smiling all the time. Question. I can see these worms even affect a person's personality. Marge, of course. If you're sick and you can't put your finger on it because you have a liver full of worms, if you kill them, you're going to feel better. It's just that simple. Question. I can see the waste of taking a lot of vitamins and minerals without deworming first. Marge, that's right. The worms simply eat it. They take the best nutrients. The tapeworm makes you anemic. Tapeworms are scavengers. They eat your food before you eat it. Question. Tell me about the tapeworm, Marge. Marge. Well, the tapeworm can weigh up to 7 pounds. It eats so much of your nutrients, it's not funny. The tapeworm makes you anemic. It eats your good food, your nutrients, and that's why people are so hungry all of the time. They usually live in your stomach. They lay there waiting for your food. And I'm not kidding. They eat your food before you eat it. And they're vicious. And they eat a lot, too. They're scavengers. The main head lives in the stomach. Even when you sleep, they're eating. They make people so sick, I can't tell you. Every other person has a tapeworm. You can quote me on that. Every other person, 50%. Question. What a horrible thought. They just sit there waiting for your food. Marge, it's true. They wait for you to eat. Your dinner is their dinner. My friend in New York used to lure this tapeworm into her stomach with sugar and then zap it with Zymex and Multizyme. She could feel the worm wiggle. Question. That's amazing. You go out to a good restaurant, get an expensive meal, and you don't even get to eat it. The tapeworm eats it first. He gets first crack at it. Marge, that's right. That's why so many people are anemic. My New York friend had the tapeworm attached to her intestinal wall. It's dead now. It's right by the ileocecal valve. She reeks because the tapeworm is rotting inside of her. She smells awful. Question. Why can't you get it out? Marge, because it's not rotten enough. It has to fall apart first. It has to disintegrate. Her husband came up to her one night and said, "What's wrong with you? You smell terrible." Her breath smelled like something was rotting. The dying tapeworm was permeating throughout the tissues of her body. Question. If a person has a lot of worms, will they have an odor? Marge. I would say so. Absolutely. Many of my patients smell terrible. Question. Have you personally ever seen a tapeworm come out? Marge. No, I haven't. But my clients have after they have taken the Zymex 2. That's how one client knew she had a tapeworm. A 50-inch length came out first. They're flat and about an eighth of an inch thick. All of the segments are joined together like a chain that you'd wear around your neck. These are the tentacles that come off the worm. The worm has a head with feelers. The tapeworms live in your stomach. They're usually not in the colon. They live in the stomach and eat your food. When a tapeworm does come out, it is flat and yellow, and it's all joined together. That's why many people who are obese have big stomachs, and in men, they hang over their belts. They have tapeworms. They keep growing one segment after another. Just one little segment in the body can grow a new tapeworm. Just one little segment can grow a big monster. That's all it takes. They're usually right near the cecum where it dumps into the small intestine. Three times this woman in New York had tapeworms come out. It's like a head with an octopus. It's like a head with feelers. She got segments of 50 inches, 36 inches, and 20 inches, and more. Every day she would get more tapeworm out as it dissolved, as it disintegrated. Question. You've actually seen 50-inch segments of a tapeworm come out. Marge, yes. Once I saw a 36-inch segment that lay in the colon tube that wouldn't break off. It just laid there with everything else going around it. Finally, it broke off. Now, another man I know got a lot of tapeworm out of his stool by taking the Zymex 2. He saw this tapeworm in the toilet, but he has never gotten the head out, so it just keeps regrowing. I think the tapeworm makes people eat more and gain less. It eats so much of the food itself. Now, we talked to Marge's friend, Mrs. Smith, in New York City, and she confirmed that she had a long tapeworm come out of her. She said during colonics, she saw tapeworms come out of her that were 12 inches, 36 inches, and even one that was 6 feet long. She said it pulled at the rectum when it came out. It untangled on the way out, and almost everyone has them, only they don't know it. She also told me that before the tapeworm came out, she could feel it move throughout her colon. Now, a lot of beef is loaded with tapeworms. Question. Where do most people get these tapeworms from? Marge. Well, we get a lot of it from beef today. I recently went to dinner with some friends. I told them about the dangers of eating raw beef, and I told them about the tapeworm problem, but they ordered rare beef anyway. They said they couldn't eat it any other way. Question. Didn't they believe you? Marge. They didn't believe me that good meat has tapeworms in it, but I'm telling you that it doesn't matter. It's all full of tapeworm today. It's deadly. I wouldn't touch it. Just one little spore in your meat can cause a whole big tapeworm in your intestine. This is the price that people have to pay for eating their steaks rare and medium rare. And the friend I just mentioned used to eat her steaks rare. She had a tapeworm in her. It was probably 7 pounds. Question, 7 pounds? That seems hard to believe, Marge. Marge, well, she told me that in some cases they can be between 6 and 7 pounds. I know she had a big one. I could feel it right through the stomach wall. I could feel it unwind and move to another place. Question, are you sure that what you felt was a tapeworm? Marge, I know it was. I could feel it move. If I disturbed it by rubbing her stomach, it would unwind, stretch out, and then it would start moving through the intestine and curl up in another place. Another colon therapist could feel that sucker too. It was huge. It was enormous. And she was just a little woman, only 115 pounds. Question, tell me that story again about the woman who bought the raw beef for steak tartar. Marge, well, she said to her husband, look at the beautiful ground round. It was a beautiful shade of red. It has no fat in it, she said. Let's get some and make steak tartar. They have this at weddings a lot and put it on rye bread and onions. They eat the beef raw. So I said to the woman, you're not going to eat that raw, are you? And she said, well, I certainly am. And I said, well, did you know that beef is loaded with tapeworms today and that you should be careful to eat any red meat that is raw? and she was really angry. You should have seen the look I got. When she bought the beef and put it in her cart, on the way out, she called me some kind of nut or something. You try to help someone, and they get offended. Question, how do you eat your meat, Marge? If I eat meat, which is very seldom now, I don't even have a hunger for it, but I'll have it well done. I won't eat meat any other way than well done. Now, one 12-year-old girl was loaded with pinworms. Question, what the youngest patient you have seen worms in? Or what is the youngest patient you've seen worms in? Marge, well, I haven't seen very many children, but they're there, I'm sure. I see the parasites, though. I've seen those parasites that look like fish and the ones that look like a stick pin with a pea-sized head. And I see the fuzzball worms. One of my patients was a 12-year-old child. The child had pinworms so bad that her fecal matter was covered with white. Her whole bowel movement was covered with them like maggots. She never saw so many worms in her life. Question. One reader I know from Erie, Pennsylvania, told me that the following story. She said this little boy was always going around scratching his behind all the time. A friend told the boy's father that this was a symptom of worms. The father was very angry, but he took his boy to the doctor. The doctor gave the boy some medicine, and I heard the father couldn't believe a number of days later when the commode was almost filled with worms, long worms. Now, isn't that something? And the child was only 7 years old. Marge, well, that's what can happen. Question, how do worms cause health problems? Marge, well, they eat your nutrients. They eat what you see, but their filth also causes problems. You know, their excretions? It's these excrements that make you so toxic. They go to the bathroom just like we do. And one man recently brought me a parasite that looked just like a grasshopper. It was in a bottle in formaldehyde. It was as big as a grasshopper, an inch and a half long, with legs and everything. It looked exactly like a grasshopper, but it wasn't one. It was a parasite. It came out of his colon. Question. You say these worms and parasites live in the layers of the colon? Marge. There could be hundreds. Did you see that worm that just went through? A 12-inch worm came through as thick as a fountain pen. Question. Right now. Marge, right now. My patient saw it. Oh, my God. Here we are talking about worms, and here comes one now. Question. How do you know it was a worm? Marge. It was a worm. It was bent and black and living, like an accordion. Question. Was it living? Absolutely. It was awful. It looked like a big liver fluke. Oh, God. It was a big one. A great big sucker. It was about half an inch. About half an inch thick and a foot long. People are full of these things. Hang on, boys and girls. Now, let's see if I can talk now. You know, it was a full moon tonight. Marge, that's when they come to life, and that's when you have to zap them with a special worm killer. That's the best time. They wake up and start reproducing. They come out of hibernation, and they start becoming active. And during the full moon is the time to kill them. That's why it's best not to take the diatomaceous earth until around the full moon. And I've had people who have taken programs to kill the worms, and they said they could feel the worms when they were dying. This was during the full moon when the worms are dying. They often get frantic. Question. Worms don't like that diatomaceous earth, do they? Marge. No, they don't. It kills them. And I've had people tell me that they have lost cups of worms in the toilet bowl after taking diatomaceous earth. Other people didn't see anything, but with Zymex 2, the worms disintegrate before they come out in the bowels. The enzymes eat away at the worms and they fall apart. They may come out in tiny sections. Worms can cause a blockage in your colon. Did you see any of these worms that you just saw? Or did you see many of these worms you just saw? Marge, well, one girl lost 2 gallons of what just came through here. The younger ones were an eggshell color. Question, 2 gallons? How could anyone possibly have 2 gallons of worms in them? Marge, well, she did, and I told you I got a quart and a half each time I did her. And every time I did her, I got another quart and a half. After 2 months, I got another quart. Now, just this morning, I saw several 6-inch worms come out of a 70-year-old lady. They were black. I saw them come out in the colon tube, she said. Oh, my gosh, I better start taking that Zymex 2 again. I always see worms coming out of her, though. Question, do people lose weight when they get the worms out of them? Marge, well, she was tiny to begin with. She had a terrible time with her colon with things they wouldn't go through. She could never get a nice, steady flow. It was the worms that prevented her from going. Question. Maybe there's some purpose to the worm in the colon, such as keeping the colon open or something like that. Marge. They do not go. Absolutely nothing. They cause a blockage. That's what this woman had, a blockage of worms. She had 40 colonics, and she couldn't go to the bathroom until she killed the worms. That's how constipated she was. Question. How could the worms block your colon? Marge. Well, 2 gallons of worms in a tiny little colon can easily block your colon. Come on. The weight alone will prevent the colon wall from contracting. The colon is a muscle, and it won't contract if there's too much weight in it. The colon wall can't expand and contract, so it gets lazy. Question. Have you ever seen a patient who didn't have worms? Marge. No. In the 9 years that I've been doing colonics, I have never seen a patient who didn't have worms. Every single patient had worms. And eventually, the more you clean out of the colon, the more you see the worms come out. You see the little red ones or the little black inchworms. And then you get to another layer and you see big black worms, just like I saw. Now, be careful of pork products. Question, how safe is it to eat pork today? Marge. Well, a doctor in Chicago put a piece of raw pork tissue under a microscope. And it was loaded with living worms. Everything was moving. All of the samples were the same. When he cut the pork, put it on the grill, charred it. He made it into charcoal. Then he took a sample and put it back under the microscope. And the parasites, some of them, not many, but a few, were still moving. Question. Would that apply to most pork today? Marge. Well, I don't know. If he cooked a piece of pork, well done. The pork and the parasites were still moving. Some. There were still a few still moving. This would tell me that it is impossible for a normal person to kill all of the parasites in pork. So why take chances? Then there are hookworms. Have you ever seen a hookworm in a patient? Yes, I have. That was my best friend when I first started the colonics, and I saw two cups of them come out. They were big. They came to a point on each end, and they were gray-colored. Well, boys and girls, there's an actual interview of a colonic therapist. How do you like that? You talk about gross. But you know, a person who's a medical professional and who operates on people, they don't get squeamish about blood. And a colon therapist doesn't get very squeamish about parasites. They see them every day. It's a part and parcel of their work. You can tell that just by listening to the interview. They kind of talk to them and watch the parasites go through, I suppose, while they're eating a sandwich or sipping on a Coke. It ought to gag a maggot. But, you know, that's business. And that's what's in your body. And that's probably what's causing your symptoms. Think about it. Hey, we got to close this off. We're about out of time. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. So remember, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're on 7 days a week. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. I've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.